Adam Cravens, and Jane Ellen watch more movies each month than most people do in a year. Parental guidance suggested reviews new movies in theaters with no spoilers promise. These film nerds know their stuff.
Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
There was quite a streak of a certain type of movie winning movie of the year in the 60s. And in 1965, I'm going to now make a movement, a physical movement for Adam to see if he can guess the movie. Of course, you won't see it, but he will.
But musical?
Yes.
It seemed. Okay. All right. Musical. Sound of Music?
Yes!
Okay. Yeah. There we go.
Sound of Music.
If this was a game show, like, I'd be cleaning up.
I know, right? Here's what I didn't realize. My Fair Lady with Rex Harrison won Best Picture in 64. Sound of Music did not have Rex Harrison in it.
Which, by the way, one of the leads that is not Miss Andrews hates this movie.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Yes,
he is so hot in this movie.
Well, I mean, and Chris Plummer, like, for all
intents
and purposes.
Because you're so close, you call him Chris Plummer?
Chrissy Chris. Oh. I really can't think of anything that
he called you and said, hey, I really hate The Sound of Music.
Well, he did it in interviews, but I felt like he was talking directly to me about, Star Trek VI, he's really good at, name me a movie that Christopher Plummer was in that you were just like, you know what? This guy's just phoning it in. Like Brando. Forever good Brando was back in the day, somewhere around 1978, 1980, he started just going, if you will pay me enough, I'll do it. They'll just be like, we're making the Mr. Potato Head movie. And he'd just be like, well, if the check's right, you've got your potato head. What do you need?
You've got your potato head.
And I'm going to show up and I'm going to be a potato head.
Yeah, it's the best potato head you've ever seen.
You're never going to see a potato. I'm going to make you a baked potato you can't refuse.
I would watch that movie. Okay, so Christopher Plummer did say, however, and it was so charming, he said, didn't all of us fall in love with Julie Andrews in that movie?
Well, I mean, it's not just like he doesn't hate everyone and everything,
right?
And any, like, he has an appreciation for his co-star, but like he's just like, that movie is so sugary and predictable and yet
based on a true story. So The Sound of Music, we're bringing this up because I know there are some anti-musical people. Singing in the Rain was one we encouraged. The Sound of Music has so many cultural touchstones in it that, much as I love My Fair Lady, when I yell, come on, Dover, come on, Dover, it doesn't resonate
quite
as much as a little Do-Re-Mi.
Well, I mean, like, I've never been a huge fan of the film, but, like, even I can sing probably two or three songs and recognize several of your lines of significance, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm not even really a fan of the movie, but I know enough of, like, as a non-fan, if I know that, like, that, you at least have to respect the significance of
it in
filmography as a whole.
It is one of those movies where if you just haven't seen it, you're missing out on a lot of jokes in other shows, and you're just kind of missing out for an appreciation of, even though it really wasn't the exact story, there was a Von Trapp family who were singers who escaped persecution.
I do want to bring up, like, isn't there a really good chance that the nuns that help them at the very end of the movie probably are going to be caught by the Nazis and have terrible things? As happy as the end of the film makes that look, like, it's kind of like those a lot of movies that they end and you're like, Wait a minute.
Those nuns are going to
be attacked by Nazis. Okay,
yeah.
The wolves outside of the castle in the animated Beauty and the Beast. Like, the Beast just barely beats them back in his, we'll call it, Hulk form.
Yes.
All right. Now that he isn't in Hulk form anymore, aren't him and Belle essentially trapped at that castle?
I would think.
I mean, sure, they could ask the greatest hunter in the village, but he's dead now. He was dropped off the top of the castle. How are they getting at, like, let's say that they're just like, you know what, Belle? We need Doritos. We are out of Doritos. How do they get those Doritos?
Mm.
I'm just saying they're not always as happy as it may look right before it rolls to credits.
Now, this is one thing that needs to be pointed out about The Sound of Music. It cost a mere $8.2 million to make. However, in its first run, in the 60s, $286.2 million.
Now, it's worth mentioning, because we covered Psycho very recently. Psycho makes $40 million, and, like, people are shooting streamers in the air.
Yeah.
So, like, if you make this into the equivalent of, like, you know, $20 dollars, mm-hmm. like, I guarantee you, this thing is a Dark Knight or almost an Avatar-size success.
If this is current as of even close to 2020, worldwide box office take is $286.2 million. And that's worldwide, not domestic. So it's a real successful movie.
I mean, yeah, again, especially when a barometer for success of a film that, let's see, this was 65.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Psycho is 1960. It's considered a huge success at $40 million, and that's nearly quadruple
mm-hmm.
that amount. I mean, granted, they spent a little bit more, but that's a ton of money in 1965.
Right. And the budget, $8 million, that's like somebody's salary today.
That's like half of what Jim Carrey got for Cable Guy in 1996.
Which kind of doesn't sit well if you think about it like that. It's like, well, wow, all these people made this great piece of cinema.
And they did it for what amounts to, you know, Frank and Beans, like, yeah. Nowadays. Yeah.
So what is interesting between The Sound of Music and My Fair Lady is Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
And Julie Andrews started out basically as a child star in England. And she was the one who starred first in Camelot, starred first in My Fair Lady, starred first in The Sound of Music. She was the go-to for all of these things. And yet, she's not starring in all those movies.
And when you look back at it and kind of what she represents to, like, let's say if nothing else, just the musical genre.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's kind of the top of that heap. Like, if you had to just, like, pick a single individual representative of movie musicals, like, I don't think if you call Julie Andrews that, and he's going to be like, what? No, that doesn't even, I mean, if you do that based on Mary Poppins and Sound of Music alone,
mm-hmm.
those are two, like, resonating films that even today, like, they recently made a sequel to Mary Poppins. Now, granted, Julie Andrews is not featured in it, but I don't think you can deny, whenever I say Mary Poppins, that one of the first associations you make is Julie Andrews.
And the thing is, and this bothered her greatly, but Audrey Hepburn, again, My Fair Lady, 1964. Audrey Hepburn can sing, could sing. Could not sing like Julie Andrews, but could sing. And worked very, very hard and filmed all of My Fair Lady. And then, after watching it, the bigwig said, we're gonna ditch her voice and put in somebody else. Which was nothing she could do about it.
So basically the plot of Singing in the Singing in the Rain.
Just the
Singing
same
in the
thing.
Music. Sorry, that was a sequel versus movie.
Camelot, I wanted to make sure. Vanessa Redgrave, she actually did sing her own stuff. But again, she can sing. She can't sing like Julie Andrews. And so that had to be hard when you originate all these roles and you don't get to play them in the movies. Mary Martin, that must have just eaten her up.
Well, I mean, if you'll even look at the way Disney did its animated musicals, mm-hmm. like in most cases, like when Mel Gibson was in Pocahontas, he was not Pocahontas, that's not Mel Gibson singing. When
right.
you, the actor in Aladdin is not the same one that's providing the musical. Like, I don't really think it kind of became a point of contention until even more recently, that definitively if you're going to be cast in the role, like, mm-hmm. you need to be the one singing, you need to be the one dancing.
And yet, I think you should be the one singing and the one dancing. Otherwise, you shouldn't be in the musical, because that's what a musical is.
I think you get, okay, Audrey Hepburn. Like, mm-hmm. even now, like, that name, like, holds some sway. Like, there's a gravitas to it.
I interviewed her son once.
Do you want to go see unnamed vocal talent starring with Rex Harrison? Or do you want to see Rex Harrison?
Okay, well, there's that.
I mean, that's why they did it. But I'm also sitting there going, but you can also argue, okay, Mission Impossible 2. Is that Tom Cruise doing all his stunts? Can Tom Cruise do a helicopter kick in the air?
He probably can now. 100?
I mean, give him a minute to say, but I'm just saying, like, can all those actions start? Like, where do you draw that? Like, can he really jump out that window, like, and land on a motorcycle and start firing a pump action shotgun mm-hmm. at people? No? Okay, well, I mean, so what's the difference there? Like, I get why the studio wants to do it, but I'm kind of with you. Like, the individual that I'm seeing, I want to know that they're the one dancing. I want to know that that is their voice. I don't want an amalgamation of the best parts of four different things. Mm-hmm. Like, just give me this person that has talent.
Yeah, show us this other talent.
Back in the day, that's what you had to have to be
famous. You had to be a triple threat.
Yeah, yeah.
Fred Astaire can't act, can't sing, can dance a little. That's what a movie guy said about him.
That's I would
can dance a little.
I want that on the dust jacket of something. hopefully pertaining to Fred Astaire.
You're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Ellen and Adam Craven's talking movies, and this is a movie worth visiting again. And some people visit it again and again and again. And if you've never seen it, you should see The Sound of Music.
The reason why I have seen it so many times, one of my theater professors in high school, like anytime we kind of had like one of those gimme days mm-hmm. or like, you know, we were going to have a half day or something like that, I was always in homeroom in that class. And she kind of had a set of movies she liked to cycle through. Mm-hmm. They were not, you know, Armageddon, you know, Batman. They were nothing like that, and it was stuff like Sound of Music, the film version of Neil Simon's like The Odd Couple. Mm-hmm. I think You Can't Take It With You was one of. I mean, it was just these were just classics in most cases, mm-hmm. but weren't classics that I necessarily had an appreciation for. But Sound of Music, I don't know this conclusively, but I think it had to be her favorite movie, because I have seen it enough times that people just be like, I thought you didn't like the movie. Yeah, well.
I still know about it.
Same reason that, like, I've seen Dirty Dancing. Well, when I was growing up, we only had one television in the house.
What? You couldn't watch it on your phone?
No. Those
were just used for phone calls.
You literally could not even watch anything. There weren't screens on phones. I don't even know where to begin explaining. Anyways, there was one television. And if it wasn't your turn, you had to watch what your sibling was. And this is assuming mom and dad don't want to watch anything. I was always watching Superman, uh-huh. Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, things of that nature. Sarah had the pilot episode of Rags to Riches, Dirty Dancing. Like, she had a lot of this other stuff. I want to say, like, there was another musical in there. But, like, I can recite and sing every song in Dirty Dancing. And mm-hmm. I mean, like, probably to a creepy degree. And like, she's like, the wind comes on and people see me belting it and they're like, I did not expect that to start happening.
Exactly.
And I'm just, it was like, well, I could do this, or if I want to watch television.
It's like when my husband starts singing I Think I'm Turning Japanese by The Vapors. He knows all the lyrics, and that's just so random.
And you're just like, that's strange. Why do you have that knowledge? I would have expected different knowledge. But
yes.
And for the roughly the same reason that I can sing and I know the soundtrack to Dirty Dancing by heart, Sound of Music, I know way too much about, especially for a film that isn't even in my top 100.
Mm-hmm. Now, what Sound of Music did was they took this basic story, which, again, was correct in that there was a captain, and his wife had passed, and he had several children, and there was a young novice that the convent sent down to teach.
The captain wasn't a pirate. For those of you that haven't,
really?
if you haven't seen the movie, like, I don't want to misappropriate what it is going into it.
Just saying. And so there's that. Now, the thing is, I guess I could look it up in the tiny computer, but he and his first wife had a number of children, and then he and Maria, I want to say, maybe had three. The names of all the kids were changed. They just focused on seven, and part of that would be, well, who's going to keep up with all these kids anyway, is what I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, and it...
So Long Farewell would still be playing if they did the actual number of kids.
And just because, okay, if you're doing a documentary about it, if you're purporting it, mm-hmm. that this is actually what happened, use your factual, like, evidence there. But I mean, in this, okay, I love the movie Braveheart. Mm-hmm. Like, there are so many factual errors in that movie. Like, it, I would say calling it based on a true story, like, is probably pushing some, like, one of the battles that's on a field actually took place on a bridge. Like, the kilts that they, like, so much of the stuff that they're using isn't accurate. Like, some characters, like, weren't even in, like, that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a movie, and I accept it for that. And I think sometimes you just have to separate yourself. Beautiful Mind. It's a good movie. Like, I believe won Best Picture, if not, like, nominated for it. But there's a lot of stuff that doesn't actually sync up with the actual life of John Forbes Nash. Like, and I would say in the same way, like, would the Sound of Music have been better if there had been, what, 13 of the Von Trapp? However many you said.
What I love about that and the movies you've mentioned is, for me, if, let's say I knew nothing about the movie and I watched it and I saw it was based on a true story, I'm curious enough to know that this is entertainment, not a documentary, which is also entertainment, but it makes me want to go find out.
I mean, if you're writing a biography, you need to stick to the facts. If you are making a documentary, please stick to the facts. Like, if you're being interviewed by a news station and you are that, like, please tell the facts. Like, film, although, like, you're purporting that it is based on a true story, at the end of the day, if it's not a good movie, it doesn't matter how factual or correct you were about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, make an entertaining movie first and put as many of those factual elements as you can. But if not, if I'm watching a movie, I want it to be a good, entertaining movie. So,
and this is.
Yeah.
This is. And the whole Nazi thing, that was a real thing. They came rolling into town and said, hey, you're military. Now you're with us. And he's like, hard pass?
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Nope.
Finger guns. I'm going home.
Not into all this. And realized the danger of what was happening as World War II started to become World War II. I guess this is prior to when it actually took place. But
I don't remember the actual
year anyway.
It started, but yeah.
And
it's around that, and very long story short, if you don't know, World War II, bad, dangerous.
Yes, Nazi, bad. However, the Von Trapp family singers, which were a real thing and were very successful, they did not escape over the Alps because they're not Yetis. So
no,
they would not have been able to do that. But the song, I still get chills when the nun is looking out the window singing Climb Every Mountain and they're escaping. And it's like, you know, you've got God lighting on her and they're escaping. It's like, that's a moment right there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're making a movie, there are some very cinematic, like that bit where Julie Andrews, like, does the spin up on top saying,
The
hills are alive with the sound of music. Like, again, I'm not even a huge fan of the movie, but
looks
I can recognize the epic, like, nature, the grandeur of that moment. Like, it is definitely a movie, and I understand why people appreciate the film. It just doesn't necessarily mix with my sensibilities most of the time.
However, if they did a remake and Christopher Plummer was playing a Klingon captain,
all warriors are cold warriors.
So,
Captain,
I bet you'd really get into that musical version.
Or just make it in the Star Trek universe for some reason.
That would be funny. I just know watching it with my girls when they were just a few years younger, they are now young teenagers,
like,
in high school.
It's the 23rd century, and it's the evil Klingons from the original series that for some reason space people are escaping. I'd watch that. Like, they're like, we must get out of Rurapente.
Yes, because we're actually Russians because we're original series. Anyway, I digress.
That is a tangent.
We can't walk down
hole.
That.
But I'm just saying, if anybody wanted to remake The Sound of Music using the 1960s Star Trek aesthetic, I'm first in line.
And the thing is that Christopher Plummer, this is the point. It was a few years ago, and my girls, they were doing the dance thing, and they said, like, he's so good looking. And it's like, right? And she's carrying off that horrible haircut.
I forget sometimes that not everybody, like, my mind exists, like, I see all the timelines of film. My sister, who was completely unaware, I guess, that Marlon Brando didn't just come into being in it. The latter
she
years.
She only knew him from Superman?
Because I had seen that. And later on, like, you know, I had watched The Godfather. I watched the movie The Score. Like, she knew heavy set, like, I need a paycheck Brando. And I'm watching, I believe, Streetcar Named Desire. And she goes, holy, I mean, this is not verbatim, I'm paraphrasing, but she's just like, holy cow, who is that? And I'm like, that's Brando. And she goes,
no.
like runs to my shelf, gets my Godfather VHS off and go, Brando? And I go, yeah. I go, he used to be, like, and as much as Pete, like, I was introduced to Christopher Plummer at a much more advanced age. Like, you go back in time.
Orson Welles.
And see them and you're like, oh, wow. Holy, look at the jaw on that guy. You forget that they're not always like the 60-year-old, like, out of shape. Or, like I said, when I think of Orson Welles, a lot of time it's him, like, you know, doing food.
We'll sell no wine before it's time.
Food advertisements, like, at the much end of it. I'm forgetting, you know, Rosebud.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, all of that. And Christopher Plummer's another one because, like, I guess you tend to remember people, like, when you were first introduced to them, like Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton will always be 1989's Batman, Michael Keaton, whenever you say that to me. And for whatever reason, when you say Chris Plummer, I do not instantly, let's be fair, Star Trek VI, yeah, that's what I think.
Which is, by the way, a good movie.
I don't think of Sound of Music, but if you go back to that, I can appreciate that he is a dapper man, in the same way that Don Draper or George Clooney can be dapper.
So there are many elements of The Sound of Music that actually did happen. You can deep dive into Sound of Music trivia. Maria Von Trapp and two of her daughters have such a minor cameo. I didn't even know it was them until I watched some documentary like 2 years ago. I wouldn't have known. It was a crowd scene, and they walk by and look back, and it's a crowd scene where they're like way in the back, and you only know it's them because they stopped. It's like, okay.
That's barely even a cameo.
Exactly.
That could just be an old wives' tale.
Anyway, so The Sound of Music itself and all of the people connected with it, that movie resonated with so many people and so many happy memories that's a whole thing. The Sound of Music. So you should see it. It's got great music.
And it's also worth pointing out that it manages to take Nazis in World War II and tell a reasonably happy story.
Reasonably. Though, man, whatever that dumb kid's name. First of all, they cast this perfect looking Aryan youth. And it's like, oh, he wants to be the big man. He wants to be Big Little Nazi. And you see, if you go into that movie for the
first time.
Which
was the original name of the musical, Big Little Nazi.
Big Little Nazi.
It didn't test well, so they changed it to Sound of Music.
If you go into it, you're thinking, oh, you know, love interest for the teenage daughter. It's like, oh, wow, no, he wants to turn the whole family into the Nazis.
Hard pass.
Yeah, and like, that alone was disturbing enough in a child's mind to go, wow, that boy with the pretty hair, he's bad.
Pretty people
can
be bad.
And it sounds simplistic, but when you see it as a child, you tend to think beautiful people don't do bad things.
No. Marilyn Manson was right.
Yeah.
Beautiful people. I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Anyway, The Sound of Music is well worth it. It's a huge cultural touchstone, and you should watch it for many, many reasons. Most of all, Christopher Plummer, and Julie Andrews is always magnificent, so I don't have to tell you that.
If you don't realize the command of her voice that she has, like, let me just tell you, you're wrong. And this is coming from a person that doesn't gravitate to musicals, like, at the drop of a hat. Like, Julie Andrews, despite, like, her inability to do it now, has an incredible voice.
I guess she had written an autobiography, but that's how I found out she was a child star in England. But imagine being 12 and her voice had developed or was walking that road to what it became. Imagine that. And then it was just, you know, she's got to be on stage, which with talent like that, how could you deny it? And then she starred in everything.
And then for some reason didn't get the film role.
Yeah.
I mean, again,
strange.
I'm saying, like, My Fair Lady turned out fine. But I'm just saying, like, if you've got to do, like, a celebrity death match, like, I'd actually probably put my money on Julie Andrews as over Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah,
No disrespect to Ms.
Hepburn. She just looks frailer.
I'm just putting it out there.
And more than likely, they were filming Sound of Music as they were wrapping production on My Fair Lady. There could have been just a scheduling conflict.
Well, the same guy basically directed Gone with the Wind and Wizard of Oz. I'm just saying, if you can make that work.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
Michael J. Fox are shooting Family Ties and Back
it
to the
is
Future
exactly like
at
that.
The same time.
Exactly
could
like
have,
that.
We could have made it work. I wasn't.
Sadly, for me, though, there are not enough musicals being made and being lauded or being made in that way that it's just a whole thing. And the last one that I would remember that became a whole thing for families was Grease. And yeah, there's Footloose and stuff. I don't remember if that's... I guess that came out a few years after Grease, but... I would say that Grease was the last huge one. And then you have, like, the A-minuses of Dirty Dancing and Footloose, which are...
kind of musicals,
but they're not going to break into song because that's how they're expressing themselves as you would
in
these
a musical.
Movies.
Yeah, the closest thing you get to that is kind of the 90s Disney... animation renaissance, where they're basically just doing Broadway musicals in cartoon form.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to a lesser degree, like, I mean, do you consider when you film a stage, like what Disney Plus did with like Hamilton or any of that? I mean, they're coming back in vogue, but I don't think they're going to be at that point that we were saying at the beginning where they're getting it. I mean, what was the number again that Sound of Music made?
$286 million.
They're not making that kind of... I mean, you're still like Mary Poppins Returns was released, I think, a year or two ago. Hamilton came up to large success on Disney Plus. What was it? The live action remake of Beauty and the Beast actually did some substantial money. So, I mean, like, they're not completely out the way that like Westerns.
But they're also not winning Oscars.
Right. People, the appreciation for the craft is not there like it was in the early to mid 60s.
Yeah. I mean, when they were churning out movies right after the talkies became a thing.
And when they were talking like that.
Yes. You would see at least for every 20 movies, there were 20 musicals.
It was kind of like what romantic comedies were to the 90s. It just, I guess, whether or not people want to show up from or ultimately.
I want people to start talking like that again.
I think I'd like it for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, and then I wouldn't like it.
Like, but right now, what musicals were in the 60s or Westerns were in the 50s, I think basically the superhero movie, that's what it is. Everybody wants one of those properties. And if you do it right, like, you're all but, like, assured to make $1 billion. Mm-hmm. Like, so, I mean, until, or I guess they could just combine them. Have they done a superhero musical?
Yes, Spider-Man. Remember how that turned out?
A film version of it. Yeah, they turned The Dark out on that.
Okay.
Yes, lots of people got hurt and it closed on Broadway. Correct.
Anyway, so Sound of Music, you should watch it. As a matter of fact, you should make a point of watching it. Thank you for listening. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Craven.
You've been listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. Download your favorites and keep up with new episodes in the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center.